In our dependence upon the Lord, I would draw your very prayerful attention to the word that you will find in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 49, and reading for our text verses 14 and 15. The prophecy of Isaiah 49, reading verses 14 and 15. But Zion said, "The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee." But Zion said, "The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee." The words that seemed to come upon my spirit, I hope and pray for you here this afternoon, really came within a few moments of the word I felt that was dropped in this morning, or for this morning, and the words that really and truly, the three words that seemed to arrest my spirit regarding this morning were those last three words, "Hear me speedily." And then as I was walking along the path, begging of the Lord that he would grant me a word for you here this afternoon, these words, as I walked past, I'll tell you how I came about the words, these words as I walked past one of the embassies along the road, there was a plaque upon the wall to those that had lost their lives in the First World War, I believe it was, from that country. And there was the wording at the bottom along the lines of "never forgotten." And as I read those words, these words seemed to drop in, "Yet will I not forget thee." And I felt that these words were dropped in for you here this afternoon. But I felt in on the past day that really and truly I should read these two verses. But Zion said, "The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me." But then the dear Lord's answer to Zion, or a poor, afflicted, tossed and tried and tempted child of God, who has groaned out that prayer, the Lord, and they're groaning in their heart, "The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me." But the Lord answers it, doesn't he? And he answers it with a question. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? It's a question, isn't it, to a child of God. And as the Lord may be pleased to help me, I will try and draw out of that part of the word. But then the answer, "Yea, they may forget." But these blessed words of promise and assurance, because you know these words, these ending words here, they're real words of assurance. They're real words of surety and encouragement, you know, because they're a personal word. "Yet will I not forget thee." Yes, you, dear child of God, if you're found in that longing state of the Lord, feeling as though the Lord's forsaken you, and you feel in the substance of the word this morning, we spoke much really and truly, that word this morning that seemed to drop in first, really and truly is a malady, isn't it? But this word here oh, the poor dear Zion, or the tossed and tried and tempted child of God, feeling forsaken and forgotten, but oh, the Lord, he hasn't forgotten. And as we read, didn't we, have the Lord forgotten to be gracious? Will he be favourable no more? And if the Lord were to speak those six words that conclude this text into your soul here this day, yet will I not forget thee, in your trouble and your trial, your feeling forsaken and forgotten of the Lord, he has not forgotten you. You might forget him, you might forget to say your prayers, you might forget, oh, that you've got a very gracious Lord and God, but he will not forget you. Once in him, you know, as the hymn writer says, in him forever. Once in him. But, you know, for the dear Lord to speak these beautiful words of promise to this dear afflicted Zion, afflicted and tossed about child of God, they had to be brought, he had to be brought there, didn't he? Feeling forsaken and forgotten that we spoke of this morning, and brought into time of great trouble, a great trouble maybe in time in your providential pathway, but it may be within your soul, great trouble in your soul. You might be in a pathway in providence. You feel as though the Lord's forgotten you and it all seems to be completely upside down. And feeling the Lord has forsaken you and forgotten you, but the Lord hasn't. I will not forget thee. I will not forget thee. But then, as the Lord may be pleased to help me, we will look here. Can a woman forget her sucking child? That she should not have compassion on the son of her womb. Now, you mothers and fathers, you will know, and you mothers more particularly than a father, a dear little baby has come forth from your womb, begotten by you, and oh, the love to that little baby, that drawing to that little baby, and oh, as the little babe may feed, and as the little babe may need that nurturing and caring for, the love of a mother and a child, and the love of a father and a child is very, very precious. But you know, the Lord, oh, even they fail. And you may say, well, I never forget my little child. Well, there have never been those little moments where, oh, as a little babe cries out, you think, oh, yes. Oh, the poor little babe. But you've momentarily forgotten them. But the dear Lord, I will not forget thee. And then, you know, as a little babe cries, there are the different cries, aren't there? And it's like that with the Lord and with the child of God. There are the different cries, and you know, as parents, and in particularly a mother, you know when the cry of a babe when it needs a feed. You know the different cry of a little babe when it's in pain or is in discomfort. You know the different cry of a little babe as it may become angry or het up, as it were. And you know the cry of a little babe when it may awake in the morning. But you know, often, naturally speaking, you know the difference in those cries, don't you? And you know the dear Lord, he knows the difference in a child of God's cry. He knows your cry when you're hungry. He knows when you're a longing soul and when you may feel pained within. And he hears those cries. And you know what? A blessed promise, I will not forget thee. I will not forget thee in those cries. Your earthly parents may forget you, is what the dear child, is what the dear Lord is saying to a child of God. Yet I will not forget thee. I will not forget thee. And you know, as a parent, there may be those cries from a little child, mightn't there? When perhaps they're going to sleep, and we think, well, we will just leave them, and they will quieten down. But if that babe will not settle, that cry will get worse and worse and stronger until you go, won't it? And you know, with a child of God, if they are found there, oh, and they're longing and they need and feel their need, which a dear little babe does, oh, their cry will get stronger and stronger to the Lord. But you know, the Lord will hear those cries, you know, because the cry within our heart and soul, when we are hungering and thirsting and longing after the Lord, He will hear that cry, and He knows that cry. And you know, then there's that cry, isn't there, in a child of God, of repentance. That cry of repentance when the dear Lord shows them the exceeding sinfulness of their sins, shows them the depravity and the depth of their heart and soul. Oh, they're then brought into a different cry, aren't they? Crying perhaps in bitterness of repentance to the Lord. And the Lord hears and He knows that cry too. And you may say, yes, but I've been crying that prayer of a crying of repentance for a long, long time. I feel as though I'm repenting. I feel as though I'm longing after the Lord, and I am repentant. But are you in the right spirit then as you're crying to the Lord? Are you crying in true repentance to Him? Or as we mentioned this morning, beware of crying in anger that the Lord is not hearing your cry, because He will hear your cry in His own time and way. And even as this mother here has compassion on the son or the daughter of her womb, oh, the Lord, He has such compassion upon His people. And you know, your cry that you may be crying now in repentance upon to the Lord in those pangs within your poor soul of sins past and sins present. You know, the Lord, they might not have that right cry and that right ring at this time. And you may say, well, whatever do you mean? But you know, the Lord, and it was said to me regarding, and I can't remember where I heard it or whether I read it or what it was, but regarding the lost sheep. You know, when a sheep is lost, and they may be on the precipice of danger, that shepherd, he won't go to them immediately, you know. He won't go to them immediately. He will wait until that cry from that sheep is right. He will wait until the cry from that sheep is desperate. And He will wait until that cry from that sheep is, and that sheep is weak. Because if He goes at its first cry, you know, that sheep will leap to its end. He has to wait until that sheep is the right time to be able to approach it without heading over, and so that it is truly ready to be received and truly ready to be taken up by that good shepherd. And you know, it's the same with a child of God. And you may feel now, well, the Lord has forsaken me. He's forgotten me. Well, dear child of God, may you take courage in this word, that even though a mother may forget her child of her womb for a few moments, but yet the Lord, He will never forget you. If you're one of His and He has begun that work within your soul and you're truly crying unto Him, He will come to deliver you. He will come to deliver your poor soul, oh, in all that it feels to need, but you might be needing to be brought down. You might need to be being weakened of self and weaned of self, that you might be brought longing unto the Lord, that you might be brought in that weakness of yourself. Because you know it's painful work for a child of God, but they need bringing down. They need bringing down in their self, bringing down to the feet of Jesus, because left to ourselves, it's the last place we want to be, isn't it? We think we've got much strength in ourselves, but really and truly, we're no different than this little babe, a helpless little babe that depends upon its mother for everything. And the Lord will have it that his people will be dependent upon him for everything. Brought to that point where they have to say, no help in self I find. And I cannot think of the following line, but though I have sought it well, I believe it goes on to say. And have you been trying to find help in self today? Have you been brought to that point where you say, well, Lord, if you won't be gracious to me, then I will forget all this. I can't wait any longer. It seems that you'll never be gracious to me. You'll never have mercy upon my poor soul. You may need to be brought where the dear psalmist was, if you haven't already been, hear me speedily. A longing, oh, a longing after the Lord. No longer able to come into the house of God and sit and listen anymore and go home and think, well, there's been nothing for me, but never mind. No, you've come now, don't you, differently than you once came. Is it so with you? You come in now, you need to know for yourself. You don't want the Lord to, you feel forsaken, but you want the Lord to come and assure you that you're one of his, and that you give you that feeling of nearness to him. That feeling of him being your heavenly Father, your comforter. Your great high priest, the high and holy one, that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You want to know it for yourself, don't you? But yet you feel, do you not, forsaken, cast off, forgotten? Is there one who's come here today feelingly in your soul forgotten and forsaken? Well, may the Lord, if the Lord were to speak, oh, to your poor soul today, oh, may this word find an abiding place in your heart and soul, yet I will not forget thee. And I emphasize the word not. It is sure and certain, I will, yet will I not forget thee. And you know, we often speak, don't we, of the shalls and the wills of the Lord and the shalls and the wills of Jehovah. And you children may say, well, what does that mean? Well, in the Word of God, there are a lot of words of shall and will of the things that the Lord God will do for his people. And you know, as you grow up and come in years and as you go through your life, may the Lord speak those shalls and wills to your young souls. And even whilst you're young in years, may you be granted those shalls and wills of Jehovah to your soul while you're young. And may you, if you haven't had them, may you be given that longing desire for them. That the Lord might come and speak to your heart and soul. And you may say, yeah, but I'm only a little child. Well, the dear Lord, he likes to hear the cry of a little child, doesn't he? A little child crying unto him, he likes to hear. And if you feel to be, even in adulthood, and those older in years, but a child in the things of God, the Lord, likes to hear the cry of a child, because he will have mercy. He will hear your cries, he will hear your prayers, because he said he will never forget you. Why? Why will he never forget you? Well, in the following verse, "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before thee." Yes, if the dear Lord has spoken, I will not forget thee to you, you know, dear friends, is because your names are engraved upon his heart, and he's graven thee upon the palms of his hands. And what was it that was graven that caused those wounds, but those nails? And it's for your sins. And you may say, "But however do you know it was for my sins?" Well, I hope and pray that if you're truly one of the Lord's people, you'll be found in this verse. You'll be found as this verse we spoke of this morning, where you'll be feeling as though the Lord has left you, but you'll be longing for the Lord, because it's only the Lord that puts that longing within your heart and soul. It's not you. And those of you who may feel that you've got that longing within your soul, let me ask you one question. I don't know whether I asked you it this morning, and I apologize if I did. But let me ask you one question. Did you put those desires within your own heart? Did you put those desires that you now feel and those longings that you now feel, did you put them in your own heart? And I hear you say no. Well, if you didn't, who did? Well, it was the Holy Spirit coming and enlightening your poor, benighted soul. And you may say, "Yeah, but I feel so far from the Lord. However can it be the Holy Spirit coming?" Because you know the law has to work first upon your poor spirit to bring you into a need. Because without the law, and I believe there will be many people nowadays in these modern religions that would say, "Well, what's the need of the law now? Let's not talk about the law. It's all about the gospel." No, it's not all about the gospel, because the law has its work. And you may say, "Yeah, well, that's a bit of a legalist view." No, it's not a legalist view. It's the law and the gospel. The law is what brings you to your need. The law brings you in as a lost and ruined sinner. The Lord brings you in as a sinner that deserves hell and deserves death. And the law, if it works upon your spirit, will bring you into your need and your desperate need of the gospel. The desperate need of the Lord to come and apply his own heart's blood to your poor soul. And you may say, "But I feel bound down by the law." But as we spoke of this morning, the law, if you feel bound down by the law, but you're longing for that release, the law has worked upon your spirit. And the Holy Spirit has come and has worked upon your spirit to bring you into a need. You may say, "But I feel the need and I know the need, but I need more than that." Yes, but the Lord will come. Oh, take courage, dear child of God, that the Lord will not leave you there. The Lord won't leave you there. Why? "Yet will I not forget thee." "Yet will I not forget thee. Why? Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me." What a favour and what a mercy to a lost and ruined, wretched, vile sinner. Is that how you feel to be, a lost and ruined, wretched and vile sinner before the Lord today? Cast out, no mercy for you now. And is the old adversary at your right hand continually telling you that there's no mercy for you because he hasn't come? Because you know the old adversary loves to see a child of God cast down, because he sees it as a weakling. But he also, as a hymn writer, I believe it is, says, he trembles to see the weakest saint upon their knees. Why? Why does he tremble to see them upon their knees? Because they are just where he doesn't want them to be. They're now brought in, a lost and ruined sinner before the Lord, but they need something for their soul, and they can no longer feel as though they can be Satan's slave anymore. No, they want a better master, not a master who drives them here and there and just makes them to see the law and how it condemns them to death. But no, they need more than that. Oh, they're brought in crying unto the Lord, and the devil, you know, he hates to see a child of God there, but he loves to see them on there, looking within, looking at self and bemoaning themselves because the Lord's left them, because he likes that. It's nice, easy work for him to come in and say, well, look at you. Look at you now. Where is your God? He's gone. Has he forgotten to be gracious to you? No, dear child of God, if you are found on your knees in prayer as a lost and ruined sinner, desperate to feel the Lord's healing balm upon your soul, you know you couldn't be in a better place. You couldn't be in a better place, because the Lord, as we said this morning, he loves to hear he hears the groanings of the prisoner, but he doesn't just hear them, does he? No, he sets them free. Those poor prisoners that no doubt are in their cell feeling as though the Lord has completely forgotten them, feeling as though there's no help for them and no pity for them. No one caring for their soul, no one caring for their welfare, but the Lord, he hears the groanings of the prisoner. Yet will I not forget thee. Well, as we said a moment ago regarding the cry, is your cry to the Lord one of desperate need? One of desperate need. Longing that he will come. Longing that he might set you free. Set you free from the shackles of the devil. Make you to feel that the law will not condemn you anymore to hell, but that the glory of the gospel has risen upon you, and the Son of righteousness has arisen with that healing in his wings, not just to hear it spoken of, but to know it applied to your soul. Is that your longing? Have you come into the house of God longing for that today? Well, dear child of God, may you take these words home. Yet will I not forget thee. May they be, as the Lord may be pleased to apply them to your poor heart and soul. Oh, that you might have that assurance that the Lord will never forget you, because once in him forever. And as I mentioned, and I deviated from it really as I tried to explain to the children the shalls and the wills. But you know, as we think of the shalls and the wills, how little we really consider how blessed and wonderful and beautiful are the promises are the will nots. Will I not? You know, we often speak of the shalls and the wills, those things that the Lord will do for his people, but oh, what about those will I not? What a wonderful promise here, yet will I not forget thee. In all this trouble and this trial upon you, all this difficulty that you may be walking in, whether it be of providence or grace, the Lord will not forget his people. He will not forget thee, he's told you. You know, I don't know why the Lord has sent me here with these words today, but the Lord knows. The Lord knows what you each need. The Lord knows what your prayers are. The Lord knows whether you've prayed at all about today. And the Lord knows what your soul's desire is. He's heard your cries. You may feel as though he hasn't. You might feel as though they don't even go above your bedroom ceiling. But you know the dear Lord has heard your cries. He does hear your cries, and he will hear your cries, and he will not forget you. Though you may feel completely forgotten. And often, isn't it, we in the things of providence, and those friends and so on that we may have, we may forget to contact them, or we may forget to ring them, or we may forget to do things, even the nearest and the dearest to us. We may say we will do something and very soon we would have forgotten. Because we have poor finite minds, but dear friends, remember, oh, that the dear Lord, he is infinite. Yes, even you, dear child of God, you may feel to be but a nothing. You may feel to be but a nothing in the house of God today. You may feel, oh, that you are only a speck of dust in the Lord's sight. But you know, the Lord, he hears and he sees everything. And he hears and sees you, and he sees you all sitting here today. He knows how you've come. He knows what your desires are. He knows whether you've got any desire after him at all. He knows whether you're longing and you're thirsting. But also, he knows how to work within your poor heart and soul to give you the right cry to him. And often, as we said, regarding the little baby's cries and the different cries, he knows when your cry has changed from a cry of self-pity to a cry of longing for the Lord and a hungering and a thirsting. He can see when your poor cry is now a searching cry and a hungering cry. He hears it. He knows the difference. You know, we can quite easily, I cannot think of the word, but trick is the wrong word, but really, but we can quite easily, falsely, put on this or that, can't we? And even a child can pretend to cry, and a child can pretend to appear upset. But we can very soon see the difference, can't we? But you know, we find it perhaps difficult at times, but the Lord knows the difference. He knows when you're truly brought to that cry to him. And often, you know, it's through those difficult, trying, troubling pathways that he leads his dear people into. And even if it's not that, oh, you might look at some and you might say, well, their pathway seems to be quite comfortable. They seem to have everything. They seem quite well in all things, really. But you don't know what's going on in their soul, do you? You don't know what's going on in their soul, how troubled and tried they may be in the things of God. There may be those things then in providence. Those things that the Lord brings his people into where they feel as though the Lord's forgotten them. Everything seems completely turned upside down and all seems to be wrong. And I believe we may have said it this morning, but when we may feel the Lord has led us in a particular pathway. We may feel that the Lord was once with us in it, but it all seems to all be so tried and so troubled and so, oh, the old adversary is able to come in and tempt us so badly about it. And we may feel that in all of it we pray, but the Lord is silent. And it's so painful, isn't it, to the flesh when the Lord is truly silent. But we're seeking after him, we're longing that he will come and speak to us, but the Lord is silent. And it seems as though he's nowhere near us, but we so long for him to be near us. And those things in providence that then may bring us back to him, longing and begging again. But then, oh, we may feel forgotten and forsaken, but the Lord has said it. These are the Lord's words, dear friends, not mine, yet will I not forget thee. May they find an abiding place in some poor sinner's heart today. Oh, because you know, really and truly, if we'd just given out those words and sat down and closed the service, you know, if they found an abiding place in some poor sinner's heart, that's all you'd need for the time and for eternity. You know, to have the Lord with you and being told that he will not forget you throughout your whole life and pathway here below, and when you come to your end and as you approach the river Jordan and approach the banks and go down into it, I will not forget thee, dear child of God, I will be with thee. I will be with thee. And then to be taken, I will not forget thee, taken through the banks and through the river of Jordan and come out the other side and be taken and given that abundant entrance into the kingdom. Come in, thou blessed of the Father, and to hear those words spoken to your poor soul through all the troubles and the trials, and you then able to look back and see all the way that the Lord has led you, though you felt forsaken, though you felt forgotten at times, but the Lord has said, and he has said, and it's his promise, I will not forget, will I not forget thee? What a wonder and a mercy. Will I not forget thee? And as I said, these are words of surety. They are words of confirmation. They are words that are clear words. They are spoken between God and a child of God. Yet will I not, will I, the Lord God, yes, the High and Holy One in heaven, oh, the High and Holy One will not forget thee. And you know, what a mercy, isn't it, to think a dear, wretched, ruined child of God, one who has had no thought after the Lord and no desire after the Lord, but may have been plucked out of their mad career, bent they were perhaps on following the devil and all that he threw at them and all that he would have them to walk in while here below. But oh, plucked out of that. When you're Satan's blind slave, as the hymn writer says, when Satan's blind slave, he watched o'er my path. And was it like that with you? Oh, many years, Satan's blind slave, and you might still be Satan's blind slave. But may the Lord have mercy on you and shine within your heart and soul to see that you are Satan's blind slave. And oh, but yet he will not forget thee, and he will have thee to come, but he will bring you perhaps back in a very hard way. He may bring you back, oh, through those terrible things, but be brought back to that longing and thirsting after the Lord. And you may say, well, I never had that longing and thirsting after the Lord. Well, may the Lord break your hard heart then, and may he bring you to a need. May he bring you away from Satan's snares, and may he bring you away from his being a follower of the Satan as your master. Oh, you know, Satan will keep the Lord's people as his subjects and followers for as long as he can. But beware of Satan's lies, dear friends. Because as the word says, he that observeth lying vanities forsaketh his own mercy. And those lying vanities are none other than the lying vanities of the devil. But he that observeth the devil's lying vanities forsaketh his own mercy. Because you know the devil, he will quickly forget you. You may follow after him and his ways continually, and you may enjoy it, because left to ourselves, oh, our wicked hearts love sin, don't they? And they want to be as far from God as sheep can run. And the old adversary may make good work of you following and you chasing after him. But you know he'll very soon forget you. He doesn't have mercy upon poor sinners like the dear Lord Jesus. No. He wants to hurl you into eternity in hell with him. And he'll make good work of it as much as he can. But may the Lord have mercy upon your poor soul, that you might be brought here with the psalmist feeling forsaken of the Lord, not the devil. Feeling forgotten by the Lord, so you're then found begging of him to come. But the Lord won't forget you. Well, I don't know how any of you have come, and I don't know any of your pathways. But if you feel as though, oh, you're in these words today, oh, and you feel as though the Lord has forsaken you, and you feel as though you're so empty, and you don't really know what you do want or what you do need, but you know you need something, you know you have this, as we spoke of this morning, this aching void now, that no man or thing of this earth can fill. One thing then, remember, the Lord has put that aching void there, but he will fill that aching void, and he will fill that aching void firstly with a longing and a thirsting and a hungering after him, and that will be making that aching void painful. But he will come and he will fill that aching void with love and mercy to your poor hell-deserving soul. Why? Because he will never forget his people, and if you're one of his, you will have been brought, and you will be. If you haven't been yet, you will be brought to that point where you can have nothing other than the dear Lord. All the things in this world can no longer fill what you need. And even those that you may feel nearest and dearest to that may forget you, the Lord will never forget you through time and into eternity. And as he brought you into this world, and as you came forth from your mother's womb, if you're one of the Lord's, he knew you before the world began. He knew your pathway. He knew that you would be brought into this house of God. He knew that you would be brought into a need. He knew that you'd be found here today in the Dicker Chapel. And he knows what you need today, and he knows what you need tomorrow. He knows what you need in years to come, because he hasn't forgotten you. And you may say, but I feel that the Lord was very near many years ago, but I just don't feel him near now. I feel as though he's forgotten. But dear friend, yet will I not forget thee. Even though you may feel like that, yet will I not forget thee. Why? Because the Lord is ever near his people. And you know, if you're one of the Lord's, the Lord has said that he will dwell within his people. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. What a wonder and a mercy for a lost and ruined sinner that their body, their soul, is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And why is it the temple? Because he comes and dwells in the Lord's people. You may say, but I feel as though the Lord certainly doesn't dwell in my heart and soul, but is he keeping your soul alive? Is he keeping your soul alive? Because if he is, and your soul's being kept alive by this hungering, thirsting, then he will feed your soul and he will keep your soul alive. Why? Because he will not forget thee. And you may feel, well, it's a long time. There's many years ahead of me. I fear that the Lord will forget me. I fear that the Lord that I feel is so close to me now will leave me in years to come. No, dear friend, he will not, you either. Because yet will I not forget thee. And you may feel the Lord will never come. You may say, I've never known the Lord to come and speak, oh, clearly and plainly to my poor, lost and ruined, hell-deserving soul that feels so hungry and thirsty. And I feel the Lord will never come, but the Lord that put that desire within your heart, he has said to you also, yet will I not forget thee. And you may feel, well, I've got no desire whatsoever and I don't want to know the Lord and I don't want to know his ways. Well, may the Lord never forget thee either and bring you into that concern that you need for your soul. And that he may come then and speak these words to your poor soul, yet will I not forget thee. What, me, so far from thee, turning my back upon the Lord continually? Yes, if the Lord has got a purpose for you and the Lord has mercy upon you, yes, he will not forget thee either. And what is the whole conclusion of it then? Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands, and once an engraving is done within the flesh, there's usually those markings that stay there, aren't there? And those markings that were engraved upon the dear Lord's hands while he hung upon the tree, they're still there. And what are they still there for? Because they were done for his dear people. And may he speak to your poor soul here this day as it comes to my mind. I will speak it. All this was done for you. For you, yes, you sin-sick soul, you poor, feelingly forsaken and forgotten soul. All this was done for you because that's why I've not forgotten thee, is what the dear Lord's saying. The palms of his hands, those dear hands that had done no wrong, that hung upon the tree. Oh, those hands that did such good here below, yes, they had the print of the nails within them for his people's sins. And do you long, as that dear hymn that we often sing at the ordinance closes with, do you long for those words to be spoken to your poor soul? And may the Lord speak them to your soul as they come to my mind. I love thee well, my child. Yes, I love thee well, my child. Why yet will I not forget thee? Well, what beautiful words of surety and what beautiful words of promise, I believe, are spoken here. And may they find some abiding place within your poor soul. And may the Lord forgive my poor ramblings around the subject, but may they find an abiding place in your soul here today. That though you may feel forsaken and forgotten, yet will I not forget thee. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.